The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Championship games are over. Super Bowl is set. And it's the Andy Reid, Kelce Brothers ball as the Philadelphia Eagles advancing the NFC side of things and in a very tightly contested and probably controversial matchup. The Chiefs squeak past John Breach's Bengals. Ryan Wilson and John Breach joining me to break down these games. Fellas, how are we doing?
Breach, I'll ask you a question I asked you off air before Brinson got the chance to hear it. In your current state of mind, who do you despise more as a Bengals fan? Joey Porter or official Ron Torbert?
It's even. I don't despise Joey Porter. I've told you multiple times that that Bengals team was not going to win the Super Bowl because they had AJ McCarron as their quarterback. So I hated that loss. It was painful. It was horrible. But they weren't going anywhere after that. You never want to lose to it. But this one, look, I said this after the Super Bowl last year that I would never blame the officials for anything because every team has to deal with bad officiating. But my God, I mean, what a just stupid game. That's all I can say. It was entertaining. It was fun to watch. And I could sit here and rail on the officials for 30 minutes, but instead, you know, I can say, hey, why not play and try and get a first down on when you're driving down the field?
The third and three.
On the third and three where Joe Burrow threw an interception. You know, I know it worked on the fourth down to Ja'Marr Chase, but this is 7 minutes left in the game. You have finally caught up to the Chiefs and tied it. Just, you know, there's a multitude of things that we will all talk about. So there's plenty of things that the Bengals did wrong that I'm not even gonna talk about the fishing. If you guys talk about it, I'll chime in. But
wow, look at
this guy.
There's
too many complaints in my head that we would have to do an entire podcast on just that.
What a big man you are, Breach. I'll give you credit.
I mean, look, I preferred the Bengals to win, but I mean, you know, pretty substantially, I think, but like, and so I don't want to act like I'm biased, but man, I mean, the officiating that game in both games today was, you know, pretty, I guess, par for the course for the NFL these days. It just wasn't very good. There was a, you know, it was just, the game was essentially decided on a personal foul. You know, you know that's going to get called every time. But before Patrick Mahomes took off and ran, there was a blatant hold by a KC offensive lineman on a Cincy defender. It was either DJ Reader or BJ Hill, I think, and it was extremely obvious. The referees completely missed it. And then on the run back of that, the kickoff return, I thought there was a pretty obvious and blatant block in the back too. And, you know, you take those things into account. It's like the personal foul penalty. And without the personal foul penalty, I don't think that Harrison Butker makes that kick, or at least it's certainly not as easy a kick. I mean, obviously. And then with those other two, if they call the hold, they're not in range for that field goal. And they probably don't, it's a lot harder to get in range if they call that block in the back. Now, look, they're not going to get everything. They're going to make, referees are going to make mistakes, but when it happens like that, you know, where it did, and it just like, just the way it kind of, it's so anticlimactic to have officials decide the outcomes of like highly like contested NFL playoff games. That's what bugs me, I think.
Well, and I said in Slack, I wasn't going to bring up the five down thing, but to give a team five downs and then the Bengals make a stop and then have the gall to throw a holding flag on Eli Apple to give the Chiefs even more downs. That was like a 9-down series when they should have only gotten 3 downs. But back to that final possession real quick for the Chiefs is, you know, even if they call that hold there, which they probably should have, it's still an offsetting penalty. There's still, 8 seconds left, and you still have third and four at the Bengals 47. So they still could have gotten in field goal range. It doesn't mean that the Bengals were going to win or lose. It doesn't mean the Chiefs were going to win or lose, but the Chiefs still would have an opportunity to win. And the personal foul call, you have to throw that flag. I mean, Mahomes was out of bounds. That's it. There's you just can't. Do you want a game decided on a personal foul penalty in the final 30 seconds? No, you do not. But you have to throw that flag. That's it. That's what it comes down to. That one's cut and dry. That one's not mad at that one. So, man, it's just, you guys should just walk through and I'll sulk.
So I'll start with Osai, because Osai, Breach, I think you can agree, absolutely balled out. He played his ass off. He was hurt last year. I think his second round pick. He was out of Texas. He was a really good college player coming out, and I liked him a lot. And he showed up tonight time after time after time, and just you know, brain lock at the end there. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you preach over and over again, and it just can't happen. Unlike Brinson, like, I don't think holding calls or blocks in the backs, I don't think those decide games, because they happen, the whole conversation where it happens every single play. But I do think the five down thing was troubling, to say the least. And I think the barometer is when Breach starts cursing and Slack, do you know something's gone wrong? And when Zach Taylor his heartbeat gets above 45 beats per minute, you know something's gone wrong. And he was freaking the Frank out. And that tells you all you need to know. Now, we saw on the All-22 where the official at the top left-hand corner of the screen was calling the whistle, and then he sort of stopped, and no one could hear anything anyway. So you just have to have a better mechanism in place to sort that out. I don't think the game was decided by a non-hold or a non-block in the back called. I think it was decided. You could argue that the chain of events after the five-down situation maybe played a part in it, but I think it was decided, oh, gosh, just when Osai couldn't stop himself from chucking Mahomes out of bounds. And I get it. I understand it. And I think the totality of his game is like an A minus. And the only reason it's a minus is because that last play just had to be poorly timed. Because, I mean, you could argue Eli Apple mugging whoever that was on the nine down play that you were talking about, Breach. That was way more egregious than what happened to Osai. Just situationally, it worked out that Osai, just the timing could not have been worse. And, you know, Bucker, who struggled all year, absolutely striped that 45 yarder. And I don't think, let me ask you this, Breach. What chance did you give Bucker making that? Because I was at about 62%.
Yeah, I wasn't anywhere close to 100. Once because they said they moved the spot back 5 yards, and there's a huge difference between a 40 and a 45 yarder, especially in that weather where it feels like it's 5 degrees out. I didn't think the game was over at all at that point. And obviously when he made it, it's over. So it was about 60-40.
Yeah.
I see people in the comments like, stop complaining about the refs. Look, you go to, and I'm not saying what trends on Twitter is how we determine what we talk about, but I hear the top trends on Twitter. The refs, congrats NFL rigs, Zach Taylor and Jabroni and Burrowhead. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's something that people are talking about in the context of this game.
Well, and you know what? Look, I said at the beginning that I'm not going to blame the refs for this. The Bengals lost one. Because they could not protect Joe Burrow. I threw out a stat before the game that they were 0-3 this season when Burrow got sacked 5 times or more. They were 14-1 when he got sacked 4 times or less. Well, he got sacked 5 times. He was running for his life the entire game. We've seen him pull out games like this, like last year against the Titans, but the Titans didn't have the type of offense the Chiefs have. The Chiefs are an all-around better team, and you just can't let Burrow get beat up like that. He had two ugly interceptions. And so when you put pressure on him like that, then the Bengals offense, just, you throw a wrench into it. You put the old the stick in the bike spoke and everyone goes flying off. And so when you look at it like that, it's not just Burrow struggling, the Tyler Boyd injury, Burrow loses a weapon. And so once the Bengals finally figured out what to do on offense, you know, we saw them rebound in the second half. It was just too little, too late. They had their chances, and they didn't win.
I'll say this, and just to talk about the Chiefs here, because they did win the game, and you know they're not making the officiating call, so you can't blame them. But Patrick Mahomes did it with an ankle and a half. He did it with Sky Moore, Marcus Kemp, Noah Gray, and MBS on the field for the final quarter, and obviously Travis Kelce, but he was being double teamed. Isaiah Pacheco went out with what looked like a head injury. I'm not sure what the actual diagnosis was, but McKinnon had to come in for him. So they were beyond hobbled. So I give them a ton of credit for battling. Now, look, Joe Burrow, as Breach will mention, will tell you that he only had two healthy offensive linemen out there, and it showed up as Chris Jones was just absolutely demoralizing Max Sharping snap after snap after snap. And you could argue that he has a legit case for being the MVP of this game. Chris Jones does. But credit to the Chiefs for sucking it up. Because it looked like when Joe Burrow and the Bengals got the ball back on that last drive that you're like, okay, this is going to be 4-0. Joe Burrow's 8-0 in games when the temperature is 40 degrees or less. He doesn't lose an Arrowhead, so on and so forth. So this was the one time the Chiefs were able to win a home game against the Bengals, which is a sentence I never thought I'd be saying out loud.
So, I think the – I'm trying to think what the – The Bengals scored a tie to make it 20-20 off coming off of the ball because the Chiefs scored on that great pass from Mahomes to Marcus Valdes-Scantling to make it 20-13. It's like a really difficult scramble job and he whipped it. I mean, like Mahomes played his ass off, especially considering his injury. You have then they get the ball back, I believe, on a they punted. Yeah, so then the Bengals punted, but then Mahomes had that fumble, right? And that led to the touchdown that tied it up, I believe. Wasn't that it? Is that the
end of the third quarter? Mahomes,
end of the third quarter, right.
And then Mahomes whipped. And then the, well, also, don't forget that that's the fourth down play that Breach was talking about a moment ago where they went for it and threw the bomb to Chase on fourth and six, yep. I believe.
Yep. I mean, yeah. And then Samaje Perine punched it in. You know, it was, when Mahomes fumbled that ball, that it was like they were actually going. Like, if that's when you felt like the Chiefs were going to win. When you're getting stuff like that from Patrick Mahomes, like, you don't see that happen.
The Bengals are going to win.
The Bengals are going to win. Excuse me. Yeah, you don't see that happen very often with, like NFL quarterbacks in general. You definitely don't see Patrick Mahomes do it, even a gimpy Mahomes. And so when that happened, it was like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is going to be, like, this is just, you know, Joe Burrow is going to find a way to do it, especially after the 4th-and-8 punt. You, Ender Breach, you thought, I can't remember in Slack, you, when they, when the, so the Chiefs got called for holding. After and then they originally accepted it, the Bengals did, then declined it, and then the Chiefs punted. I mean, obviously you wanted them to punt. Did you want Zach Taylor to accept or decline it? Thinking in your head that if they accepted it, that Andy Reid was probably going to go on 4th-and-8.
Well, I thought he would go for it. So I did want him to decline it because I didn't want the Chiefs to get 2 downs. It would have been, I think, 3rd and 22 and said it was 4th-and-8, but 3rd and 22, if you're the Chiefs, you try and get 10 yards or 15 yards, you don't have to go for the sticks. And then if you're in field goal range, you know,
or you get an Eli Apple mess up,
right? Or you get a holding call. So it just opens up this whole can of worms. So I did want Zach Taylor to decline it. He did decline it. And I actually thought that the Chiefs were going to try a 55 yard field goal. That's exactly where they were on the field. It was 4th-and-8. Andy Reid said, look, our defense has been dominating this game. So we're just going to punt it. We're going to pin them down. And that's exactly what this defense did. The defense just played so well. The defense on both sides of the ball played well. I know we're talking about how Mahomes had no receivers, but they didn't do anything, you know? So it's not like you can give the Chiefs offense really any credit. I mean, their last four possessions were the fumble by Mahomes, a punt, and a field goal where they drove 26 yards with 15 of that coming off a Bengals penalty. So, the Chiefs defense really carried them here and they were impressive. You know, we haven't seen too many teams beat up on the Bengals offense like that. And, you know, you guys mentioned it was Chris Jones that really led the way. And then also for some reason, the Bengals couldn't cover Marquez Valdes-Scantling who looked like Jerry Rice out there. I don't know how that happened or if they just forgot about him, the game plan, or forgot that he was on the team, but I could not, it just, every time he came up with a key catch, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers was like throwing rocks through his television thinking, where was this guy when he was my teammate? Who would have thought that MVS would be the Chiefs offensive MVP? He played his mind out. And that was really it. It was the Chiefs defense and it was Marquez Valdes-Scantling and they're going to the Super Bowl and the Bengals are going home and I'm sad.
So on that next to last drive that you're talking about for the Chiefs breach where you mentioned maybe the 55 yarder, Jay Feely on the sidelines said neither kicker tried more than a 50 yarder in warmups. And I'm guessing that probably informed the decision. In addition to what we just said earlier about Bucker struggling. Also worth noting, L'Jarius Sneed went out on the first series. I believe he hit his neck on Joe Mixon's thigh and he was concussed. And that was also a loss. It also forced Joshua Williams into the field. He gave a huge catch to Hayden Hurst late in the game, converted a 3rd and more than 10 deep in the Bengals zone end. That sort of seemed like they were going to get things going there. I think it was the Bengals' last drive. So I think it ended up eventually with a few series earlier, by the way, Brian Cook, who had the reverse game of Joseph Osai, who absolutely got roasted play after play to start the game, tipped the ball on that third and three that Brinson mentioned earlier, tipped to Joshua Williams, Fable State, shout out, who had a tough game as well, and they got an interception there. So, look, I will say this about the Chiefs, a banged-up team. We talked about their offense. Defensively, they had a ton of rookies out there. And they made some mistakes, but they also stepped up when they needed them to. Sky Moore on the other side of the ball had that big return at the end of the game that Brinson mentioned. He had three muff punts this season, and at times he looked like he didn't know how to catch football. So in terms of timing and showing up in this game, the rookie class did really well for Kansas City.
Well, and to bring up Sky Moore real quick, on the punt before, the Bengals punted twice in the second half. And on the first punt, Sky Moore had a 25-yard return. And I'm literally thinking to myself, look, there's only a finite amount of time here. The Chiefs have basically 30 seconds to work with. They have one timeout. The one thing you absolutely cannot risk is a huge punt return. If you kick this out of bounds, just 35 yards net, or just whatever, if you don't allow a big return and you pin the Chiefs inside their own 35, with the way their offense was playing, it would have been hard to imagine them getting the 35 yards they needed to get into field goal range. So This you've already been burnt once by the punt returner. Why are you punting to him again? Just punt it out of bounds. And I said that to you guys as soon as it was just, I could not believe they punted to him. I could not believe it.
We're not laughing at you, Breach. We're laughing at the commenters. Lucas Pulowski mentioned he was sad that you took your tree down, and Poke Rad mentioned in the comments, Breach furiously threw the tree out of his second story window just before the pod. It's on his Instagram story.
I set the tree on fire. Is it bad? You set a Christmas tree on fire.
you pulled a Skip Bayless and like stormed into your, like had your wife like record you throwing your tree in the trash can?
My kid's gonna cry when she sees her toddler Christmas tree is just ashes.
The tree
got beat up, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
bad luck tree.
I mean, look, back to my the original point, I guess, when I complained about the refs is that it was a really good game. It was a really entertaining game. It just felt like a little deflating to have, you know, it felt like sort of the outcomes were just shifted by it. But I think, you know, as a whole, you look at the Bengals season and it's hard to be too mad about it. Back-to-back AFC championship games. Anytime your team gets a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you know, you're going to be disappointed, of course. I mean, but, you know, I mean, nobody's going to look at the Bengals season and say, well, that was a disappointment, right?
Yeah. I mean, we have this debate all the time about whether a team finishes as a disappointment or whether they should feel good about their season. And I do think the Bengals should feel good about their season. They started 0-2. People thought the Super Bowl hangover was there. Nobody thought they were going to beat the Bills. And so to get back to the AFC championship game, I would consider it a successful season. I'll probably be mad about it for the next 72 hours. But then when you kind of reflect and think about what happened and think about the fact that, hey, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, all these guys are under contract. You know, this whole team basically is coming back next season. Your offensive line is going to get healthy. So they have a lot of people. So you have to feel pretty good. And, you know, one thing I would say, not to like complain about the officiating, but it's really weird that, you know, the NFL announced the Super Bowl referee earlier this past week, and it's Carl Sheffers, and he is refereeing the Super Bowl for the third time in 6 years.
Yep.
And so
that's the absolute most he can possibly referee the Super Bowl too, by the way.
Right. So is that the NFL saying that, like, hey, we don't really trust any of our officials on the big stage anymore? Because that's kind of what it feels like. And you know, we're seeing why they don't. So it's like the NFL seems to know that they're struggling in that department.
I also think it's a thing where, and you know, this, I'm talking about the red zonification of the NFL a lot too, where, you know, where people are used to seeing, you know, 10 games on at once on a channel that just pops back and forth to the best action. And then when you actually watch like what it actually, one actual NFL game, you know, you're like, wow, guys, it's kind of clunky sometimes, or, you know, these refs stink. Like when you actually have to see, you know, all the different things, like you know what I mean? Like the full meat and potatoes, the full, how the sausage is being made of an NFL game. Sometimes you can come off, you're like, oh, like this is a little yucky. It's
just, you know, Breach, let me ask you this, because our Jonathan Jones mentioned this before the AFC championship game. Joe Burrow's in line to get $50 million a year, so that's going to mess up the old salary cap and keeping the band together, which is something we could talk about later in the offseason, but just a point. And what I also wanted to ask you, when you talked about whether the season was a success, I think it's a resounding success. I mean, this isn't the Vikings. And I think you could even argue that the Bills season ended in disappointment with the way they got their doors blown off, which leads me to this question. Let's say that tonight there was no controversy and the Bengals got their doors blown off Bills style. Would you feel better or worse or indifferent? would the season feel more successful, less successful, and differently successful?
If they had lost like 31-7, say?
Yeah, and didn't show up at all.
Like, you know, I probably would have been less bad because it was, yeah. I mean, to the AFC title game and it's still the Chiefs. The Chiefs are, you know, they've been to the AFC title game 5 straight years. They're going to the Super Bowl for the 3rd time in 4 years. So this is not a team you're going to dominate. This is not a team that you're just going to beat up on all the time. So anybody who thought that would have been crazy to think that. So yeah, if it would have been 31-7, I probably would have been a lot better with it than losing the way they lost today.
Really? See, I don't know, man.
Not the cheating, but the allegations of
referee misconduct.
Yeah, that would
like
anger
collusion.
Me.
Yeah, like the assertion that the NFL has rigged it for the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl is like
impropriety was the word. Yeah,
I don't believe that this has been like a thing that's really popped up this year with the NFL being rigged. Maybe it's just like our society nowadays where people just like think. I look, the NFL is not rigged. If stuff is happening like this, it's not because the NFL wants a certain team to win. It's because the NFL is a $14 billion business run with the efficiency of this podcast.
Run by
I can tell you it's not rigged just because go out in your backyard and try and kick a 45-yard field goal. You'll hit it maybe once out of 100 times if you're lucky. And so there's obvious skills involved that you can't guarantee even if you try to write a script for it.
Right. And my whole thing is this, like, if you think that your coworkers are being vindictive or, you know, malicious, what you end up finding out inevitably is that they're just
incompetent.
Incompetent. And correct. I think that's where this comes down. So sometimes incompetence can be confused for conspiracy theories. And at the end of the day, it's just people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. By the way, the total penalties called in this game. 9 penalties on the Bengals for 71 yards, 4 penalties for the Chiefs for 55 yards. So, I mean, you know, you can parse that however you like, but certainly. You
know. And I do feel like these two teams are very evenly matched, as evidenced by they have played 4 games. All 4 have been decided by 3 points. Yes, Patrick Mahomes was on a hobbled ankle and the Chiefs weren't at full strength. But the Bengals also were not at full strength, obviously missing 3 starting offensive linemen, missing Tyler Boyd, who had a huge first quarter and then couldn't play the rest of the game. So they were missing key players, and the Chiefs had key players who were injured. So I think if both teams were at full strength, we probably would have seen something similar.
Yeah. I mean, look, these two teams, I think there's a pretty good chance that we see the Bengals and the Chiefs play in these spots in the playoffs, I don't know, 5 times over the next 10 years. Obviously depends on like the scheduling and how that all plays out and the bracket.
I'll take the under on that.
My point being is like, but
the wins over Wilson is 1.5.
Okay. Well, just between the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Chargers Steelers. In theory, and then the Jaguars too, just because of the
Steelers.
Yes. Because Kenny Pickett, you got to add him in there. Just because of those young quarterbacks, like we said it after the Super Bowl last year. You know, Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl, a second year, won MVP, and then never went back. I mean, it's, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to, you know, get back to the Super Bowl a bunch. Even Patrick Mahomes, he has never been a starter and not.
Oh, no, we lost Brinson.
That was the Bengals Mafia. I think Brinson was going to say that he's never been a starter and not gone to the AFC Championship game. Is that correct, Breach?
That sounds exactly
what I think what 5 for 5 and that is where he is on that.
And that's impressive. I mean, you can't argue that.
Yeah. And this was
I got taken up by the NFL league office.
I finished your thought. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're good. Go ahead.
No, I had nothing left to say about this game other than I don't want people to think that we don't think that the Chiefs deserve to win this game. It had nothing to do with the Chiefs and just, you know, it feels like the punctuation mark on the season where the officials always sort of insert themselves by just being incompetent at times. And here's the thing, like my buddy down the street, his daughter plays field hockey and he doesn't know anything about field hockey. No one knows anything about field hockey. And he was explaining to me that the rules are convoluted and ambiguous. And sometimes there's a lot of discretion with the officiating. So no one knows what's going on. And that feels like the NFL, except we've been watching NFL our entire lives and no one still knows what's going on. It shouldn't be that hard. And it just feels like they overcomplicate it. That said, if either of these teams won, I'd have been happy for them. I still love the Chiefs. I think they're a fun team. I love the Bengals. I think they're a fun team to watch. I say that's a Steelers homer. The only thing sadder than Breach is my Snoopy tattoo breach. It is very sad that.
You know, one thing I think I saw somebody in the comments ask if I do now think that Zach Taylor is a good coach. And as someone who has been riding the fence for three years now, I refuse to take a side. I'll take a side. I do think he is a good coach. You get the two straight AFC championship games, you're a good coach. I mean, yes, you have Joe Burrow. Yes, you have these weapons. But the Bengals have been, the offense has been so good partly because of him. He's the guy out there calling these plays, and he has done a really good job this year. But that being said, I was not thrilled with how they finished the first half when they ended up kicking the field goal. I was fine with that field goal call, but I just feel like they used all their timeouts on consecutive plays. And I, you know, I'd said this to you guys, I feel like they should have spiked the ball so that they could save a timeout, so that in case something like the T. Higgins play happened, which got them down to Kansas City's 5-yard line, if you call a timeout there, you know, you have a lot more time to work with. You probably have time to run three plays, or you could just would have opened up more options. So I didn't feel like they ran the end of the half real well. And then the other thing is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes had a so-so game, just like Joe Burrow had a so-so game, but both of them just came through with clutch throws. Both of Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes, the one on 4th and 1 where he just made magic happen. You know, you're going off script. If you throw an incomplete pass there, you drove inside Cincinnati's 15-yard line, coming away with 0 points. That would have been a disaster. Nope, he finds Travis Kelce. And then we all saw that second touchdown where he threw off his bad ankle. Man, I mean, so he wasn't.
Did Mahomes have a so-so game?
No. I thought
he had a great game.
I thought
he played better than
given like when you factor in the I was gonna point out that when you factor in like what happened with his ankle like that, I mean, to me, that, you know, you add that up, and then like you look at Kelce, and I know the Bengals didn't do what the Jaguars did, just like let him just do whatever he wanted. Finished with 7 catches on 8 targets for 78 yards and a touchdown. I mean, they definitely like were trying to, you know, double team him and you know, keep Mahomes from going to him. He's just that good. And you saw the rankings in that graphic before. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/NFL and CBS, by the way, new YouTube channel. It's a branding thing. We'll explain it later or something. But Kelce is he now second? Second or first all time in receiving touchdowns in the playoffs? And that's not second all time receiving touchdowns. That's not tight ends. That's any pass catcher. He's second all time in playoff receptions, 127. Third all time in playoff receiving yards, 1,469. And second all time in set with 700 plus yard games. I mean, this guy is a stone cold lock for the Hall of Fame. He's, you know, he may be obnoxious after victories, but he's a guy that just is such a difference maker. You know, like we can talk about like everybody's hurt for the Chiefs and they had to go to MVS, but at the end of the day, like, you still got Travis Kelce, who's just a cheat code out there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with any of that. I think he's definitely, even I will not push back on your Hall of Fame.
And this is a guy who suffered back spasms at the end of practice. He was a game time decision. They were doing things into his back in the locker room to make sure he could play. And so the fact that he went out there and caught 7 passes for 78 yards and a touchdown on 4th down. Yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce played out of his mind.
Breach, by the way, Sabia in the comments says it's your fault that the Bengals lost. You took a shower.
too.
Okay, anything else?
Not showering till next Super Bowl, though.
That's on us.
Yeah, that's right.
The Chiefs, by the way, like, I thought the Bengals defense played, you know, pretty dang well. Like they did what as much as you can ask them outside of like, you know, like Pratt had one, you know, tackle where he didn't get Pacheco down right away. They probably should have. And then, you know, there's some of those MVS plays where he was sort of running wide open. But like, you know, given what you're up against, I thought the Bengals defense played well, and I thought the Chiefs defense. I thought both defenses showed up in a really big way, in a way that maybe we didn't expect, especially if you thought, you know, this over is going to hit, where you see tons of points.
Yeah, no, they're good. Luna Rumo's amazing. I saw David Cantor, who's an agent to the coaches, tweet out that if you don't hire Lou Anarumo as your head coach, you're crazy or something to that effect. And
I think he's just a regular agent, but yeah, I mean,
keep going, Wilson.
My first thought was maybe. I mean, I've had this conversation a billion times. Just because you're a great coordinator, which Lou Anarumo certainly is, doesn't mean you're going to be a magical head coach. But yeah, hats off to him for a fantastic season. And his big thing, Breach, has been halftime adjustments. They outscored the Chiefs in the second half, 13-10. They just came out 3 points short, obviously. But I, unlike the watching Steelers games where they do anti-halftime adjustments, it's amazing to watch a team that understands what they're doing on both sides of the ball, whether it's the Kansas City offense or the Bengals defense, and sort of lock down the things that were working in the first half. By the way, hats off to Spagnuolo, by the way. And, you know, Romo talked about this during the game, and I'm not smart enough to know how effective it was, but it appeared pretty effective the first few series where Spags apparently didn't show everything to the Bengals offense the first time they met. And it looked like that Joe Burrow was confused at times, or at least the offensive line was, because they got after him, as you mentioned, Breach. I think the first nine plays, he was sacked four times. And that obviously set the tone early on, because the Bengals offense sputtered when the Chiefs got going. Although, you know, as we talked about, it was only a 6-point lead for a long time, even though it felt like it was 40 to nothing.
Well, and yeah, that's kind of what I said to you guys at halftime, was that it really felt like the Bengals played their worst first half possible. And it felt like it felt like the Chiefs should have been leading 28 to nothing. And the fact that it was a one score game made it feel like anyone could win in the second half. And, you know, and obviously that is how it played out. And the other thing is, because of how well these defensive coordinators kind of drew up their game plans, there was no rushing attack. If you would have said in our bold prediction podcast last week that Joe Burrow was going to be the leading rusher in the entire game, we would have given your grade an F, and we would have laughed at it and said that was way too bold. And Joe Burrow, leading rusher the entire game, because neither of these teams could get anything going on the ground.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about the Eagles and the 49ers in a game that was not that exciting. Next.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Philadelphia advancing to their second Super Bowl since 2017. Is that their second? Was third Super Bowl? Or the three Super Bowls? Four? Like in recent modern history. Anyway, they're back in the Super Bowl. Howie Roseman rebuilt this team, got it back to the Super Bowl within, you know, 5-year span. Like, really impressive. Jalen Hurts. I don't really know how to start talking about this game, honestly, because Brock Purdy got hurt and Josh Johnson got hurt. They didn't have a quarterback. The Niners didn't. 31-7, Philly wins. I mean, Breach, you said you were going to take a nap at some point during this game. I actually did take a nap briefly during the third quarter. No, but a purposeful nap. I just fell asleep. But it's like, yeah, fourth Super Bowl, lost the first two, won the third one, and now have a chance to try and get back there and pull it off again. I mean, I just don't know how you can like really have a huge takeaway from this game other than the 49ers aren't going to win if they don't have any quarterbacks.
Yeah, the takeaway is this for me. Like, the Eagles stomped the 49ers and didn't let them hang around, even though the 49ers were flailing. Because sometimes you see teams play down to the level of the competition, no matter whether it's week one or in the playoffs. And I give the Eagles credit for balling out. I think Nick Sirianni, on some level, outcoached Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan was playing, you know, with a hand and a half tied behind his back. You mentioned the three quarterbacks. Here's the thing, because Brady Quinn, our buddy, tweeted this out during the game, that the rules about not being able to activate three quarterbacks came back to bite the league in the ass, sort of. But if you go look at the 49ers roster, you know who their third quarterback is?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Juszczyk.
Like, there's no actual quarterback with quarterback and experience on the roster. Like, he doesn't
exist. Jennings?
No, my point is, like, they don't have
one. Yeah,
there's no Mike White. There's no one anywhere buried on the roster that could even have been available. And maybe that's because of the rule. I don't know, but they don't even have that guy. I mean, they were down to the fourth quarterback when JJ came in, no doubt about it. But Yeah. So the good news is, if you're an optimist, Breach, Purdy finished with didn't throw an incompletion, 4 for 4. That's the upside. The downside is everything else that happened in that game. If you're 49ers,
I believe he's the first quarterback to ever start a game and finish the game and not throw an incompletion in conference championship history. I think Jim Nance said that. Obviously, you know, 4 of 4, he only took 4. They wouldn't even attempt passes with him out there, really. Like they would do screens or they would just run the ball. It's crazy. Like, you just never see anything like that where it's just this guy had, you know, I mean, like, they had nothing. Kyle Shanahan, I mean, what could you do? You're going up against an Eagles defense that's playing really well. And like, I already had a lead. It was just like, we don't need to really rush the passer. We're just going to stack the box and, like, not let you run, like, past the line of scrimmage. And they couldn't. I mean, the Niners were completely hamstrung. They had 11 first downs, averaged 3.6 yards per play, 164 yards. The Eagles might have had more. The Eagles almost had more rushing yards than the Niners had yards, 148 to 164. It just wasn't a very competitive matchup, and that's what happens when you lose your quarterback.
Yeah, you know, and you did you just say that Sirianni outcoached Kyle Shanahan? Because, you know, I don't think that is a fair statement. I think the one thing, if you want to complain about Shanahan, is that he just refused to put in he could have put in Christian McCaffrey. You know, the Fox broadcast talked about him as an emergency quarterback. I think that gives you a better chance to win when it was still 21-7 and the 49ers had the ball. The game's not over. You get one touchdown, it's 21-14. But if you have Brock Purdy as your quarterback who cannot throw the ball, so the Eagles know you're going to be handing it off, and Purdy's not a weapon because he's not going to be out there running the option because he's not a speed demon. But if you're snapping the ball to someone like McCaffrey, who could run the Wildcat or who could, you know, run around the end, or just you have a better chance to win with him in there. And the fact that Shanahan stuck with Purdy just didn't make any sense to me, because it just, you know, it felt like the game was over, obviously. But at 21-7, you still have at least a puncher's chance to win. And if you're Shanahan, it just felt like you needed to try and make a move to spark your offense. What? But the one thing
the Niners got the ball first coming out of half, too. So it was 21-7. So it's like, you know, you got half, like, go into halftime and just, like, I mean, I don't know, bang out some, like playbook on the back of a, like, a, you know, napkin that's just a bunch of Wildcat plays for Debo and CMC and just try and get something going.
Well, the first possession of the half, they still had Josh Johnson.
Oh, so still had Johnson. Okay, sorry.
Got injured on that possession, but then they punted. Then the Eagles got the ball back, went 3 and out. And then the next possession, it's still 21-7, and Johnson's out of the game at that point.
Even to that point, like, I mean, not that we were thinking Josh Johnson might get hurt, but we knew Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan told Aaron Andrews that, like, there's almost no chance that Brock Purdy was coming back. Like, you had to be thinking there, if Josh Johnson gets hurt, we are going to have another plan.
So, Breach, I was the one that said that Shanahan was outcoached by Sirianni, but I added a caveat, which you interestingly neglected to hear. But my point is this, and this is where it starts. When Brock Purdy was still 100% healthy, the very first drive for the Eagles, Devonta Smith makes that one-handed crazy catch down the field that sets up that touchdown.
It shouldn't have counted.
And here's the thing. I know that there was no review in time, but if you see a wide receiver or anyone on the other team get up and frantically signal to snap the ball as quickly as possible, you have a decision to make as a coach. And it's the first quarter. Maybe you're taking a chance. You want to save the timeout, which is not necessarily very smart in the first half, but you have to worry about the challenge. I get that. But you're also
– there's also fourth down. So, like, if you win the challenge, is it ball coming back? You're getting the ball.
And that's the thing. So that's the math you have to do. Now, look, it was split session, bang, bang. That doesn't mean Kyle Shanahan is a terrible coach. But just in the context of this game, with the understanding that Brock Purdy got hurt on his very first drive and that Johnson got hurt to start the second half, there are a lot of variables there. But just in general – I thought that Sirianni, who, you know, you talk about, you know, Travis Kelce perhaps being annoying in the postgame. I actually don't think so, but I know what you're saying. If you're a Bengals fan, at least, I think Sirianni can rub a lot of people the wrong way because he personifies producer Billy in his filliness and driving people crazy.
On the Shanahan thing, too, like, you know, he didn't see the I know Shane Wilson, like, he saw everybody, like, Devontae Smith, like, pounded his fist and was, like, sprinting back there, basically saying, like, we got to run a play quick. This is where replay assist or expedited replay, whatever you want to call it, from the NFL, like, they didn't see the replay, the review of Devontae Smith, the ball hitting the ground until they went to commercial after the Eagles had run that play. It's like somebody in the NFL that replay, like, how, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, it's not fair that no one can see that replay. You just have to guess. You find out after you well, can't tell.
I mean, it's been that way for 100 years, though. I mean, that's not unfair. Just you have a choice. That's why you're the coach. You got a decision to make. I'm not saying he's wrong.
And to Ryan's point, we saw that happen in the Bengals Chiefs game when Zach Taylor pulled the challenge on the flag, on the challenge flag on the play where Mahomes' knee was down, and he threw it forward. And he didn't. And Mahomes said, "Hey, let's hurry up. And Taylor's like, "All right, well, I'm just going to throw the challenge flag." So Ryan's saying Shanahan should have done the same thing. I mean, he absolutely should have challenged that play. That's on him. But then, you know, the flip side here is he's down to his fourth string quarterback. This game was tied 7-7 with 90 seconds left in the first half. And so then the Eagles get two touchdowns in a minute and 20 seconds because Josh Johnson doesn't know how to handle a shotgun snap.
Well, that was a mistake too. Here you go. This is a video of it. And by the way, I noted in Slack too at the time. I said, "Hey, look, we sure that ball wasn't out." And I said that on a text chat too. Like literally nobody was like would respond to me. I think they thought I was an idiot. But you could see it on the initial replay. It was like, yeah. I mean, it's fourth and short. They threw it deep. They're right there in the red zone, and it did look like at least when Devontae was like going down to the ground that it maybe could have jarred loose. And so why not toss it out there? Like the leverage of getting the ball back and when it's 0-0 and having the possession and taking away a possible touchdown opportunity from these guys, that leverage makes it worth attempting, just throwing the challenge flag out there and seeing if you can get something out of there. And he went to half with two timeouts too, which isn't great either.
I will say this. We talked about this in the game we just talked about, the AFC game. But the NFC game, the 49ers had a ton of penalties outside of the offensive side. The defense was pretty banged up. Bosa got hurt on that freak play coming onto the field when there was a little scuffle that didn't involve him. Fred Warner went out in the first or second play. He came back, played pretty well when he came back. And all told, being down as many people as they were, especially at the quarterback position, I thought the 49ers played pretty well defensively. The issue is they had 4 trillion penalties. And just the funniest of which, by the way, was Dre Greenlaw getting a personal foul penalty for beating the crap out of the football at the end of the game. That I actually
did 11 penalties for 81 yards.
And to that point, Wilson, that's kind of where I was going. Yes, this game was a blowout. But look, the Eagles didn't even get 275 yards of offense. This was the fifth biggest blowout in playoff history for a team that didn't get at least 275 yards of offense. And, you know, you look at Philadelphia's touchdown drives, obviously. The Devontae Smith incomplete pass that should have been an incomplete. The Josh Johnson fumbled shotgun snap. Mm. And then their touchdown drive in the second half that got extended after the Eagles were punting it. And the 49ers got called for roughing the punter, even though it looked like the 49ers defender got pushed into.
And it even could have been running into the punter, too, because he didn't hit his plant leg.
Right. And so, you know, it felt like that was a weird call. And not to like, I think the 49ers played a lot better than I think the final score indicated. It just everything went against them. And also the Eagles are an awesome team. So that doesn't help when you're down your 4 string quarterback, everything goes against you and you're playing probably the best team all around team in the NFL.
Are we going to give Billy a chance to talk with the Eagles? Do we all do that?
We should give him a
let
half
me ask,
hour.
Let me ask Breach quickly. Yeah,
Billy, do a soliloquy with Wilson.
Wait, Wilson.
Yeah, let me ask Breach a quick question. So you talked about the punt on third down. That was in the third quarter. I'm sorry, the third quarter punt, 21-7, kept the drive alive. And at that point, Shanahan was so livid, he was circling the official like he was going to choke him out. Who do you think was more frustrated by the end of the day, Shanahan or Zach Taylor?
I'm going to say Zach Taylor because their game was closer, and it just seemed like there were a few more egregious calls in that game. But at that moment, you could tell Kyle Shanahan was thinking, look, man, I am down to my 4-string quarterback. We're down 2 touchdowns in the second half. Why are you doing this to me? Just throw us a freaking bone here. Just throw us anything. Just don't throw a flag on us because my guy got blocked into your punter. Shanahan was livid. Zach Taylor was livid. It was not a great day. It won't be a banner day that will be remembered forever in the halls of NFL headquarters.
All right, Billy. I want you to come on and explain to me why Jalen Hurts was running the ball so much late in that game. He ran the ball like 5 straight plays. What was that about?
Well, I think more so it was because we couldn't seem to be able to throw the ball. But I think it was also due to the fact that I think Sirianni, those guys during halftime, they saw a little something with the Eagles, with the 49ers defense, I should say. Ofunga, every time they ran the ball, they ran to the opposite side of him. And it was the way that they were stacking their linebackers and safeties. And it was just a better look for them. So, I mean, the only way the Eagles were able to move the ball in the run game at all was to run at the weak side. So whichever side he wasn't on, they attacked that side. And then the 49ers made adjustments. And when they did, that's what then brought Jalen Hurts into the game and made him start to use his legs because they needed an extra blocker. So then they used the running back as a blocker and allowed Jalen Hurts to break off a few big runs and have a little success.
Pokerad in the comments asked, Billy, please explain why beating the Giants and a team with no quarterback is the greatest playoff run of all time. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't think it's the greatest playoff.
Did you call it that?
I'm sure he did.
I didn't call it that. I think winning in 2017 was probably one of the greatest playoff runs of all time. But this year, it's just different. Like that year in 2017. Yeah,
you played Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we didn't play anybody special, but at the end of the day, we played who we had to play, and it is what it is. But I mean, I think, you know, 2017, it was a great run.
This is not 2017 anymore. It's not 2017.
No, but I'm saying that he asked the question of what's the difference between the two. But like, you know, that's the difference. 2017 was a magical run. This run is like, we're supposed to be here. We worked hard all year. We beat the teams that we need to beat in order to get in this position. So at the end of the day, like, it's just a good run for us. And it, you know, it looks good for the future as well.
Billy, let me ask you this, and you got to be honest. So don't take off your little Eagles underwear, your underoos, and answer this question.
You are the most like blindly blatant homer I think I've ever met.
So here's the question. You got to win the Super Bowl. You have to win the Super Bowl. You got this team here, and you're playing the Chiefs. Don't worry about who's coaching the Chiefs because this is part of the question. Would you rather have Sirianni, Doug Peterson, or Andy Reid coaching this team? You have to win or something bad's going to happen to you.
I don't think that's fair to ask me. I think you have to ask me that after the game because I haven't seen Nick Sirianni play in a big Super Bowl game like this.
I mean, coach.
I haven't seen him coach in a big game like that. I've seen Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. I've seen Doug Peterson coach in a Super Bowl. I haven't seen Nick Sirianni in a Super Bowl yet. So I think I have to. You know,
but then what you do is you have to either answer Doug Peterson or Andy Reid because you haven't seen Nick Sirianni coach in the Super Bowl.
I mean, I guess I would probably go. I think I still have PTSD from Andy getting the NFC championships and not being able to get over. So I would probably say Doug Peterson just because I've seen Doug Peterson win in Philadelphia. I've never seen Andy Reid win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia for the city of Philadelphia. He was never able to do it with Donovan McNabb, with T.O. He couldn't do it with DeSean Jackson. Last time we were in Arizona, we lost, and it was a painful loss to the Arizona Cardinals. So I've got PTSD from Andy Reid. I love Andy Reid. I was glad that he was able to win a Super Bowl with
Mahomes, thank you for answering the question. I appreciate it.
I still got some PTSD with Andy.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add? Anything you're proud of that the Eagles did? Anything you're concerned about? Obviously, the pass rush, Hassan Reddick, they went crazy. Any concerns at any level of the defense or offense?
I mean, I've got two things. You mentioned one, Hassan Reddick. I mean, I feel like we should at this point give Hassan Reddick his flowers. I feel like he's had a better year than Micah Parsons. I mean, I think he should be in the conversation for defensive player of the year. Like, he took over that game in the beginning, to be honest. Those two sacks, big sacks, in a meaningful game. I mean, if he doesn't get those sacks, I don't think we even get a lead to kick off that game. So I think he played out of his mind. But I think a guy in Kenneth Gainwell played a big game, had the most rushing yards on the team today. You know, those are the type of guys that you need to step up in these big games when your offense is struggling and you need to score points. He was able to cap off a big 17-yard run, which was his longest run of the game. Like, that was influential. He reminds me a little bit of Corey Clement in 2017 when we went to the bowl. He was big in our playoff run. I think Kenneth Gainwell can be that type of guy for this Eagles team.
All right.
That's Billy's take on this Eagles team. I'm sure we'll have plenty more takes from Billy. Whoa, there's a huge fire broke out at Arrowhead. What is going on here?
There's a few fires in downtown Philadelphia too. So
yeah,
going down.
Yeah. Are you just gonna hang out? You keep talking to Eagles, Billy. Is what you want to do?
I'm happy.
No, I'm kidding. It's congratulations. You and it was a shame. It's not you and Breach, but I do like the idea that we get Andy Reid versus the Eagles.
Can I say something quickly? Mm-hmm. Breach, I'm sorry to have to bring this up, but just in terms of updating the Super Bowl update sheet, it's Wilson versus Brinson in the finals. Brinson's got those sorry-ass Eagles. I got the Chiefs. Who rides with me? Let's ride. What does he say?
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride.
Wilson, you should show pity and give your pick to me because of the way the game was officiated.
And also, Caleb, who had the strongest team going into the playoffs, that poor guy, he had Bucks, he had the 49ers, and he is also with Breach in the loser's bracket.
For the second straight year, the listener does not make it to the finals.
How about that?
What was the Chiefs pick? Two? Second overall?
It might have been first.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Give me a second.
Yeah, I think it may have been first.
Oh, I thought
That was Ryan's number one overall pick, and the Eagles were Brinson's number two overall pick.
Look at this, by the way. The last time we were in Arizona was 8 years ago. This is January 2015, if you're watching on YouTube. First of all, proof that I had hair, and also proof that Brinson had hair plugs.
Wait, you think that's hair?
I mean, you have a little bit of hair. You don't have a lot of hair. Like I think
that's
you
not hair. That's not hair. That's like...
You got peach fuzz.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, I saw you the night before. You had a Sharpie. You were putting that on your head.
I saw you the night before, and you had that same squirrel on top of your head.
The squirrel ain't changed much.
Squirrel has changed a lot thanks to the hair plugs. Thank you for the...
No, it was just back then. We said, I know that looks like it's like 50 years ago, by the way.
Wilson looks like he's a little bit chunkier in this picture.
Your beard's all dark.
Come get some, Billy. I treat you like Bosa was treating us Eagle fans.
Oh, here you go.
Cybers? Well, I guess I don't have cyber.
Someone in the comments wants to know why that photo looks like it was taken in the 1990s.
It may have been.
It does.
In the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, that was we were set up for the set for the podcast for the
By the way, I gotta call out Tyler Ross. He said Wilson looks like an Aldi brand Bomani Jones. Come on, man.
That's actually great, Tyler.
That's like you guys are doing promo photos for a buddy comedy from 1991.
I know, right?
The beard's a good choice, I guess.
This looks like it's from the moon landing.
Somebody says I look like I'm the biggest dashboard professional fan.
This is an interracial buddy comedy that's airing on UPN.
Too good. Good times. 8 years ago. Unbelievable.
It was 8 years ago. God, it's been a long time.
That was so long ago, Breach, that on the set was Rex Ryan. He was coach of the Bills, and people thought he was actually good at his job.
Breach. So I asked, was Breach born when that started?
Oh, Breach, tell us where you were. This is a funny story. I don't know if the story, Billy. Tell us where you were during the Super Bowl.
I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, shooting videos with Jamie Erdahl. highlight of my 11 years at CBS Sports.
And the low point of Jamie Erdahl's career, unfortunately.
He skyrocketed and just left me in her wake.
Yeah. She went on to work sidelines for SEC for CBS, and now she's the host of Good Morning Football.
Exactly. And now I'm doing a podcast with you,
still
idiots.
Stuck with us. I know, right?
that photo really, it's just like, we just lost like a lot of people watching this stream. All right, let's talk about some Super Bowl odds and the matchup for the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs. Unless there's anything else you guys want to add on Eagles 49ers. The Eagles. So anyway, Super Bowl odds, William Hill. The Eagles have taken a bunch of steam in the last little bit. They are now -2 or -2.5 after Casey opened as a 1-point favorite. Total of 49.5. What do you think wins over Wilson?
Wait, the Eagles are -2? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have KC open at -1. By the way, Stephen O, who actually does this for a living and he's smart, he says he does the simulations for Sportsline. The odds have the game as a pick'em. And my initial simulation, this came out at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time after the football game, also has the coin flip. The Chiefs are winning just over 50%, but the Eagles are actually averaging more points per sim, 23.7 to 23.6. What's the over-under? Do you have that?
I do, 49.5.
So this is 47.3, it sounds like, if I did the math correctly. So maybe the under is an early play?
Possibly.
Hey, Brinson, can I get some credit for my line that everybody laughed at? And then, like...
You did get it right. We did laugh at you, and you got it right.
Wait, what was the line?
He said -7 or something.
My line was -7.5, and blew it out of the water, actually.
But that's not how that works.
No, but I'm just saying, though, like... At the end of the, I mean, my line technically wasn't wrong. Like it was.
It was wrong because that.
I mean, it was wrong. You're right.
I know what you're saying.
But, for the Philly San Fran game.
Well, I mean, if you had said that Josh Johnson was playing, then it probably would have been 7.5. Like that's sort of the difference there. I guess I gotta hedge in on my my Eagles Super Bowl future, huh? I got Eagles minus 2.5. Hey, V. So I could take the I could buy the Chiefs up to +3.
Wait, would you say the point spread is right now?
2.5. I see 2.5 or -2, depending
who?
On
who.
Philly. Eagles. Philly -2.
The Eagles.
The yeah. Eagles are favored over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Okay, well, I was saying that because Circa Sports had opened it as Chiefs favored by 2.5.
Yeah.
And it's already flipped.
The Philly is getting steamed aggressively. Now, whether that's an Eagles thing or whether it's a Patrick Mahomes injury thing, there's also some buzz like maybe like is Jalen Hurts perfectly healthy? There's 2 weeks to go. You don't have to see all these people and whether or not, you know, what the deal is. I mean, look, if I've got the Eagles to win a bunch of money to win the Super Bowl, I'm hedging some on the Chiefs, I think.
Oh, right? That's funny because you do have an Eagles future ticket.
Cash a nice one on the NFC Championship. Thank you very much.
He's a fake Eagles fan.
I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm an Eagles fan this year.
No. But you've claimed earlier in the year on the podcast that you are an Eagles fan.
You fell for it.
It's a running gag that I say I'm a lifelong Eagles fan. I'm like, I'm not.
But he did pick them.
The whole game, you were anti-Eagles the whole game.
No, I was not. You tried to suggest that some other thing washed out the non-review of the Devonta Smith thing. And I was like, no, it's not nearly as valuable. And then I showed you like win percentage and EPA per play and how that matters. You're like, I don't care about EPA. Like, I'm a fan of whoever I pick to win the Super Bowl each year, basically at this point. That's the Eagles. So here we are. I think my initial lean would be if I'm getting points with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I am taking those points. Like I think the Eagles could easily win the game. Wouldn't be shocked by it. But if you're giving me 2 or 2.5 points in the Super Bowl, or if we guess a 3, the Chiefs will get smashed. The total, I think I would probably lean to the under because of the way we've seen these two defenses play the last couple of weeks. The Chiefs are getting the pass rush home. The Eagles are not afraid to run the ball. The Chiefs are not afraid to run the ball a ton in the second half if they have a lead. And, you know, I think it just won't be a ton of like big shots. We always see the first quarter low scoring in Super Bowls as teams feel each other out. So I think I would lean towards the under in this one in the Chiefs. Any thoughts from you guys?
Well, that's why I got it at -1, KC. I'm leaning Chiefs early, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot to sort out health wise, of course. And not only just Patrick Mahomes, but all those receivers that didn't play in the second half. That'll be huge.
Yeah, Jeffrey Benson breached with us in Slack, but Jeffrey Benson at Circus Sports said Super Bowl opened at Circus Sports with Kansas City Chiefs minus 2.5 with a total of 51. The market disagreed and said our opener was garbage. It'll be interesting to see where the number goes in the next 2 weeks. This actually could be a fun one because a lot of times in the last few years, we've seen the numbers pop up and it just doesn't move the whole time, you know, because of where it is. This one, it feels like it could go back and forth a lot because of the two quarterbacks. You know, the quarterbacks have been injured late in the season. You know, you have two popular teams. This game should do BAFO ratings.
wait, what kind of ratings? Do you hear that, Breach?
Did Brenton break StreamYard? What just happened? Brenton, you got to get out of here. Bye.
I was like, well, we definitely just got stuck in the simulation.
What a word to stop.
I thought that was me.
Sorry to everyone listening to that. At first, I thought he was emphasizing it by actually he was keeping saying the same word, and then I saw that his mouth wasn't moving. Oh my God. Comment. I think Brinson just had a seizure. That's funny, Bob.
I literally thought it was me. I muted myself.
That was a glitch. We just saw a glitch of the Matrix, everybody. So before Brinson went crazy, breached, Victor Garcia, I think, was in the comments mentioned. How come we're not talking about Andy Reid off the bye? Because this is obviously Andy Reid off the bye. The last time we had this conversation in person was at the Miami Super Bowl. Oh my gosh, he's still talking about the last time we had this conversation was in Miami together when we saw the 49ers come back the Chiefs come back against the 49ers. On that long pass, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill went on the win, yada, yada, yada. So does that weigh in at all?
Yes, I was going to bring it up, but you guys didn't ask me about my Super Bowl points yet. We hadn't gotten that far yet. I love the Andy Reid factor here. Obviously, coaching against his old team, I think he's going to be motivated. Look, the people who were in charge there are still there. You know, you want to prove to Jeffrey Wolf. You want to prove to Howie Roseman, those guys are still in the front office, and I think that Andy Reid would love nothing more than to make sure that they don't get another Lombardi trophy. And so, yeah, I think Andy Reid off the bye. I think that's where I'd lean right this second. But again, like we said, there's so many injury things you have to figure out. You got to know how healthy Patrick Mahomes is going to be, how healthy everyone in this game is going to be. But I just – the revenge factor – for Reed getting fired and now facing his old team 10 seasons later is very fascinating. Hey, Brinson's back and he's not having a seizure anymore.
I don't know. Did I have a seizure while I was trying to say that?
I don't know what.
All of a sudden, y'all went complete. I couldn't hear anything you were saying. I think my roadcaster like froze up. It was very bizarre.
Well, you want to know what happened, Brinson? You said a word
that we can't. And say I'm not really. Yeah, don't say
Boffo,
it.
Boffo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wasn't even sure if you finished the word, and then you went Boffo, 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 and that literally did that nonstop for 15 seconds, and no one knew what to do because at first we thought you were like doing it on purpose to emphasize your point to Wilson. And then we all kind of looked at each other like, okay, this might be broken. And then
I was scared. Yeah. Y'all like all just like staring at me like silently. I was like, what is happening?
So Brinson, let me tell you. Yeah. So it's like going crazy for us. And I thought that we hit a glitch in the matrix. And these are some of the comments. What the F is this? Brinson seizing out. I thought my phone just died. That's the best moment ever. I thought that was my Xbox. The acid just kicked in. So yeah, thank you for that moment of levity. That was crazy town, USA.
Oh my lord! Yeah, it's look. Sometimes you do stuff on the internet. It just happened. And somebody said tired of dealing with old people in tech. I mean, this is I'm not old. It's not the tech. It's my crappy. No,
it's
just
it's all Brinson.
Brinson's a boomer.
So yeah, Brees just talked about Andy Reid off the bye. He's buying into that because that's a good thing to buy into. I was trying to find Andy Reid's record versus the Eagles. I don't know if they face each other, but I'll look for that quickly.
Three straight games. They're undefeated against the Eagles.
Okay, there you go. So that's also something to keep in mind.
Because Andy Reid does not want to lose to the Eagles. And it's not just three straight. Those are the only games Reid has ever coached against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So he is 3-0, and two of those three wins are by double digits.
Oh, boy. Look at the face on the Billy's face says it all.
That was a lot, Breach. I don't think that was needed, but, you know.
I was worried. Just tossing it in there. You never know.
Worried. I'm not worried, but I'm not scared. We were able to put up 31 points against the best defense in the league. So, I mean, the Chiefs' defense is a big drop off between San Francisco's defense. So, I'm not as worried.
And Andy Reid is the fifth coach to coach against his former team in a Super Bowl. You know who didn't get revenge? Pete Carroll in Phoenix, just like this Super Bowl. Mm. Oh. Pete Carroll lost to the Patriots when old Russell threw that interception.
Who are the other ones?
Do you want any time to guess, or do you want me to just tell you?
Just tell us, probably.
We have John Gruden, who coached against the Raiders. And we have Dan Reeves, who coached against
the Broncos.
Yeah. And then we had old Weeb Eubank.
Hold on. Jets and Colts?
Yeah, I believe so.
Nice.
That was. He was the coach of the Jets when they upset the Colts.
I will say that the Pete Carroll revenge game doesn't quite feel right because Pete Carroll sucked when he was the coach of the Patriots.
He was better than he gets credit for, I think.
I lived in Boston during that time, I think, and he underachieved with a good roster. And then Parcells came in and they won. It's not today's Pete Carroll. It was young and somehow more energetic Pete Carroll.
He never had a losing season.
Yeah, but they underachieved.
Okay, just saying.
And you have the NFC's leader in sacks with the Eagles against the AFC's leader in sacks. And you have the AFC's highest scoring team against the NFC's highest scoring team.
And the Kelce brothers.
There's never been a set of brothers facing each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
McCourty's never faced off.
No,
the McCourty's. I thought they played in the Super Bowl against each other. I think it was with each other. They're on the same team.
Yeah, he was on.
And as noted by Jonathan Jones, the first time we have two black starting quarterbacks facing each other in the Super Bowl.
Jason McCourty has never played on an NFC team, and obviously Devin's been with the Patriots.
Yeah,
that's crazy. There's a bunch of good storylines. Like there, you know, sometimes you look at it, you're like, all right, I don't know if we can really stretch these throughout the year. Now, on the other hand, there's a decent chance that we get to Wednesday and we're tired of all those storylines. But
well, great news then, because I'll be in Mobile, Alabama, starting tomorrow, doing Senior Bowl coverage. So check that out if you're tired of talking about the Super Bowl for the next few days.
And it looks like someone asked, how many times have number one seeds faced off in the Super Bowl? That was Ian. The answer to that question is, since the playoffs were expanded in 1990, we have had 8 occasions where number one seeds have faced each other.
All right.
And the last one also involved Eagles over Patriots, which I'm sure Billy remembers. We actually had a great run of that. Super Bowl 48, Super Bowl 49, Super Bowl 50, Super Bowl 52.
Wait, Eagles. Oh, I was thinking about the McNabb game. I was like, wait, the Eagles didn't win that game. You meant the Nick Foles game. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's not always deliver.
Anything else?
Mm-mm.
I think we got it all covered. If you had to give the we're owed a really good Super Bowl because these playoffs have been kind of lame.
I feel this.
I thought the playoffs were good. I enjoyed.
Yeah, I thought they were good. I enjoyed the playoffs.
I mean, there haven't been like a ton of great games. Wildcard weekend's fun. But...
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for us.
Brenton, we're literally podcasting after one of the best games of the playoffs. The AFC title game was bonkers.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah,
I just think in general the entirety of the playoffs.
My team lost, and I'm gonna go take 5 shots and cry, and I can still say this was a great game.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't.
Right. No, but I think he's talking about the totality.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, divisional round, and then the first game. Divisional round was not great. Then the first game today was just. I mean, it was a literal snoozer, and then we had a good game in the Bengals Chiefs. That was it.
Okay.
I would say that the game was the ratings. Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Billy, for Wilson, for Breach, I'm Brenton. We'll see you guys later.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.